years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Well, good day, everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening live on a Wednesday morning, you are here now, if it is live on a Wednesday morning. Okay, I am broadcasting for the first time on, let's see, X, formerly known as Twitter. How long do we have to say that? So anyway, and I'm going to try to revive my my author page on on Facebook. That's the one. Yeah, but I haven't done that yet. I've got a lot of work to do. Someone was asking about my Facebook page. Where am I on Facebook? Well, you can go to Nicholas Arthur, and I have an author page there where I used to post every week my broadcasts or any posts that I had on my blog, because they would send them there automatically. But they stopped doing that since it became X for some reason. I guess they couldn't work out the details or something. So, and now me having to do it manually, it's not getting done. So got to figure out how to do that. Anyway, so that's that. Today our topic is, if you haven't heard yet, it's going to be outing the Antichrist. And I expect a lot of, participation from the audience and the listeners and watchers out there, however you're watching, on whatever stream you're watching on or whatever venue you're listening on, but First Amendment Radio. And also I'm changing something else today. If you have a question for me or a comment on the topic and the broadcast at any time, I have a text number on the screen. So I'm not going to be watching the chat rooms because there's too many of them, because every place that I broadcast to practically has their own chat rooms now. And so you can't watch them all, and there's no way to get them all in one place. Although I know some people have tried, but it doesn't really work that well. So the text number is 559-543-8470. And anytime you text during the broadcast, that will be right in front of my face, right over here on the screen, right off the screen. You won't go on the screen. And to make sure, because that's that little white box is where any text messages will show up when they come up. So make sure you don't want to put anything on there that you don't want people to see on the air. But this is for air, okay? So, and I will have your phone number, yeah, because you will use your phone. And make sure if you text me, say, this is your name first, and or whatever you want to be called by, whatever your on-screen moniker you want it to be. A first name is nice. You could go, this is Tom, I'm WW in the chat room, something like that. Because first names are, are common, so no one's going to identify you by your first name. So use that text number. It's on the screen. It's permanently on the screen right now. And it says text live, so if you have a question, comment, anything that you want to participate in the broadcast, do that. And that way I don't have to be scouring 7 or 8 chat rooms for questions and comments. That's just not, feasible anymore. So there you have it. I'm still taking calls, but I think I'm going to give up taking calls. So unless you want to schedule as a guest or commentator, because I mean, I'll have anyone on a guest if you got anything to talk about that has to do that you think is important for our audience out there, has to do with the topic or the Bible. Just, you know, say, hey, I'd like to come on and discuss this with you on the air and be your guest for the day, because I don't need famous people for my guests. I want ordinary people like me. You know, I may be, maybe I am not ordinary. I don't know. I'm ordinary for me. So, and I know there's a lot of really brilliant people out there. And I don't know what that sound was, but let's see. That must be, I don't know what that sound was from. Oh, it says, nope, I don't know what it was from. I thought the text makes a different sound than that. So that's something else. I got stuff popping up on my screen. Oh, I don't know why. Okay. So anyway, that's what we're starting today. So text me if you got a question or comment. You're welcome to chat in the chat rooms, the various chat rooms. But if you want me to see anything, you either have to text me live, and I will, because they'll stay, or you have to put it into the First Amendment Radio chat room, where the chats stay for days, so I won't miss them. So if you don't want me to miss something, then make sure you do that. And I'll say good morning to Shauna. Good to see you there in the First Amendment Radio chat room. WW over there in the Rumble chat room. And No Bucks over in First Amendment Radio chat room. And last week I did my broadcast, and I was talking about the limited hangout that I'm going to be doing. So as soon as I get done talking about that, we're going to jump into our topic. And this is what I got from on my Prophecy Reality channel on YouTube. They, due to community guidelines, strikes or copyright issues, you can't live stream at this time, which means they're not letting me live stream for a week. And since they discovered it the same day, the week's not over till later on today or tomorrow. So, and I wish I knew what that whistling sound was. What do I have that's new? I don't know. It might be something else, but anyway, because I do have, oh yeah, and I did want to share this with you guys. I have now, like I said, I'm streaming on X or Twitter. I don't know how to get there to see my stream, but the producer page says that I'm live right now, and I can see my face there live right now. So I guess if you go to at Nicholas Arthur on X, formerly Twitter, you can find the stream there somewhere. I don't know how, and it's hard to do those things while I'm live. Good to see you there too, WW, in the First Amendment Radio chat room. So anyway, the book is out if you want to get it. Secrets of the Rapture. Yeah, this book here, I've got a copy of it now. And, you know, it would be nice that most of you went through me with me as I wrote the book while I did seven or about 10 broadcasts on the Rapture that helped me develop the book of about 100 pages. And so this is the biblical answer. This book is the biblical answer, disputing, or what is it called? It's called Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism. But we do it by the Bible in that book, in this book. And that's basically what the book is about. If you want it deconstructed by the scripture itself, this is the new go-to book. I don't know if there was a former go-to book on it, but that's the one. 99 pages. And a power-packed biblical exegesis on deconstructing the pre-tribulation dispensationalism. So we have that there for you. Looks like, hey, everything's working right. And let's see, I think we're on everywhere we're supposed to be. It says on, but it's not green like it. Huh, it says online. Okay, I guess I'm going to believe that it is. Okay, well, let's see. What I'm working on is this here. And so I've got my notepad out and I'm taking notes and outing the Antichrist. Now, I don't know. That's how we're labeling the broadcast now. This is our first broadcast on outing the Antichrist. Anyone knows what that whistling sound is, please tell me. I don't know if you can hear it over there. It's coming over my speakers. The only thing I have on that I haven't had on before is Twitter, or I mean X, but you know, I can't see anything here or any notifications. Unless it's, let's see, maybe there's notifications up here somewhere if people are notifying me. Let me see. Oh, here we go. Let's see if that's Twitter notifications. Okay, there was a login. No, no notifications here. So no new ones anyway. So I don't know what's doing that whistling sound. Okay, well, I'm going to have to ignore it because I can't have it interrupting my broadcast continually. So I'll just have to ignore it from now on. And if anyone's watching on Twitter, would like some kind of feedback, not on Twitter, but in the First Amendment Radio chat room, and a link. This is all new. I just started that. So as far as I'm supposed to be broadcasting live for 2 hours now on Twitter, formerly, or X, formerly Twitter. So I'm hoping that's working. That at this point, I have no way of verifying it. Okay, let's get back to our notes then. And this is what I am starting out with here. The questions, and that's what I'm looking for, questions that when people, and I want multiple choice answers for all of the questions so people can choose the right one, because it should be obvious. Because I love multiple choice. You know, one of the answers is correct or more correct than others. Right? So, and the idea is to get people to choose the correct answer and come to the conclusion on their own or see what we see, okay, as far as outing the Antichrist goes. So where is, where is the Antichrist mentioned in the scripture? Every scriptural mention of the Antichrist, that's what we're looking for. Even like, would this be a mention? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Is that where the Antichrist is mentioned? Is that part of the mystery of the outing the Antichrist? Things like that. Of course, we know the reference to the man of sin by Paul. That's one. So what I'm looking for is every mention in the New and Old Testament that people associate with the Antichrist or that can be associated with the Antichrist, so we can get everything and look at everything. So that would be the first question, because, and I put that first because God's word is first, you know, it's sola scriptura. That's what we're after as Reformed Protestant historicists, because, you know, if I have to use three words to label myself and my views in Christianity and the Bible and prophecy, that would be it. Reformed Protestant or Protestant Reformed historicist, whatever way you want to put it. And what do those labels mean? Okay, well, Reformed. Okay, that means I believe the Reformers got it right. And when you reform something, that means it got out of form. Okay, so it has to be reformed into what it was in the beginning. So, and things do get out of shape. The further you go, the more corrupt things become. So sometimes you just say, as Martin Luther, after attempting through his 95 theses, reforms in the Catholic Church, at which time he even said, "I was a mad papist." Okay, at the time he wrote his 95 thesis, he thought, well, the church needs to be reformed because it's got out of form. It's become convoluted and twisted into something other than what the church should have been. And he came to this conclusion by reading the Bible, okay? So, and that's where I come to my conclusions, by reading the Bible like Martin Luther did, okay? It happens when people read the Bible. They see things are amiss, that they're not in line with the scripture, and they go, well, things need to be reformed. But then he discovered that the Catholic Church and the papacy, the whole construct, was irreformable. And the reason he found that it was irreformable, at the same time he discovered that it was irreformable, he also discovered that it was that great apostasy, and the head of it was that man of sin, spoken of by the prophets, and specifically, and or especially, Paul at 2 Thessalonians. So he discovered what the great apostasy was. And it was a great apostasy, the greatest apostasy that ever rose up or ever will rise up. There never will be a greater apostasy that is a swerving from the faith. So it has to start with the faith and it has to depart from it for it to be an apostasy. Okay? So there are a lot of apostate things out there like Mormonism and several others out there, Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff. These are apostasies. These are apostate religions. But the greatest one of them all rose up when the early church fathers said it was. And those early church fathers being taught by Paul and by John, later by John himself. And they combined what Paul and John said and wrote about in the first, second, and third century. About the Antichrist, the man of sin, and the great apostasy, when it would rise up so that it was be identified, because that when the Antichrist and the great apostasy would be revealed when the Roman Empire fell and was divided into 10 kingdoms. The Imperial Roman Empire was taken out of the way, and the old world was divided into 10 kingdoms. And later one tenth of the kingdom fell away, which we've identified as Britain, because it is the one that fell away from the papacy. And the only one that fell away from the papacy before the papacy received its deadly or near deadly, seemingly deadly head wound. But we all know that its head wound was healed, so it wasn't quite that deadly, but it was deadly to it in some ways, as far as its grip on the ten-horned beast locality, of which it dominated for 1260 years. All of these things in conformity to the prophecy that was given. Okay? So, where is the Antichrist mentioned in Scripture? What are the different monikers that the Bible identifies the Antichrist with? These are the questions, and I want input from all of you out there. Let's see. Yeah. And good to see the servant. I haven't seen you before over there on the First Amendment Radio chat room, and you'd see me looking way, way over there because it's way, way off on the screen on my right-hand side. I have a screen on my left, screen on my right, and a screen in the middle. That's what it takes to be your own producer. Yes, indeed. Okay, so what are the different monikers? Some will say the beast. Well, that's a misnomer, because the beast is not the Antichrist. But it's a common misnomer. It's been used throughout history. If you've read the History of Apocalyptic Interpretation, which I'm going through the rest of the week in the second hour of my morning broadcast, I've been going through, and it's all posted up there. They now have playlists on Rumble, so you can check out the playlist there. And I forget that I think there's 17 segments to that or something. I forget exactly how many, but the entire History of Apocalyptic Interpretation written by E.B. Eliot is what I'm narrating during that hour and doing a little commentary on as I go through it. So I know there are people enjoying it because there are people watching it, and it's posted there and the playlist is there. So make sure you take advantage of that on Rumble. And that's First Amendment Radio channel on Rumble. I'm not really keeping up a prophecy reality channel on Rumble. It's way, way too much to keep adding more things. And First Amendment Radio is my daytime job, okay? It's my tent-making enterprise, so to speak. If I were to compare myself with Paul, who was a tent maker and supported his own ministry as much as he could when he was able through his own labor. Okay, next question. Who did the first century Christians believe the Antichrist was? So we're looking for biblical and historical evidence to answer this question. Right now I'm just asking the questions. And the reason I'm asking the questions is because I want to get as many answers there as I can to, and multiple choice, you can choose one or more on what you believe when we get our survey together. Well, I'm going to use this survey once I get it up and get it all written out to out the Antichrist, outing the Antichrist, because most of the world believes that you can't know who he is. This has been the propaganda that has been put forth by the Antichrist because, you know, think about it. If you were the Antichrist and people and all the world were starting to identify you as the Antichrist, it was known throughout the whole world in the middle of the 16th century, according to some people that spoke then. It's known throughout all the world. All the world knows who the Antichrist is. Yeah. Some people, you know, believed it and some didn't. And those that didn't believe it adhered to the Antichrist and were part of his great apostasy. And those that saw it, they maybe didn't like it, but they would go, yes, well, this looks like it's the truth. And so I have to depart and obey the scripture where it says to come out of her my people. Speaking of the great Antichrist apostate church or Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Oh, there's another name for the Antichrist great apostasy and the mother of harlots, the seat of the very Antichrist itself. That's what we're discovering here. Let's see. Ah, that is what always teach. The beast is not the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is part of the beast, which is very good. Very good over there. Completed Christianity in the First Amendment Radio YouTube chat room over there. Let's see. All other religions except real Christianity is work salvation. That's right, because they're not relying on the blood of Christ by salvation in him alone and not by works, lest any man should boast. But works, instead of being the price we pay to be saved, we aren't saved by works, but works are an evidence that we are saved and they follow our salvation. They don't precede it. Okay. In real Christianity, salvation is a gift with no works attached to it. No stop sinning or such things for salvation, free grace. But if the Holy Spirit is working in you, working repentance in you, you are becoming perfected. You aren't perfect, but you are becoming perfected because he said he will complete the work he has begun in us. So no matter how good we get, this God's been working on me a long time, and I'm much better than I used to be, but I'm by no means perfect. See, little known as well is that the antinomianism of Christianity has its roots in Catholicism, which is rooted in the Gnosticism of Simon the Sorcerer. Yes, and I have a post on my website, which you would probably enjoy over there, Completed Christianity. It's called Lest We Forget What We Protest. So like if you go to my website here, and here it is here, there's a search button in the upper right hand corner, and you put Lest We Forget and search for that, and there it is. That's the article that comes up, Lest We Forget What We Protest. You would really enjoy that. I'll put a link in the chat room during this break. which I am going into a break. So I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on Internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the Internet. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Gee, I just talked for 5 minutes without any sound. Pastor. Yeah, that's bad, isn't it? You are. Yeah, I know I'm unmuted now because I'm my dummy producer. Okay, so anyway, I guess I have to do that all over again. Let's redo the last 5 minutes. Anyway, I got a question from, you are unmuted. Yes, I hate to have to do this. This is from No Bucks. He says, Nicholas, would it be accurate to say that the Roman Empire never really ended, but instead changed venues and became the Roman Catholic Church power ever since? And I want to thank the other two people that notified me after 5 minutes that I had no sound. Got to get a little quicker to help me out here. I need help. I need all the help I could get. Thank you. I appreciate it. Anyway, the question, which I just gave a 5 minute answer to, now I have to give it again. So, okay, would it be accurate to say that the Roman Empire never really ended, but instead changed venues and became the Roman Catholic Church power ever since? Yes and no. Because the scripture said, and let's see, speaking of the ten horns, which appeared in Daniel's visions of the same coming era, okay, although the beast rose up before BC, it appeared with the ten horns, but Daniel doesn't tell us anything about the ten horns. We don't get any information about the ten horns specifically until John writes in chapter 17 about verses 9 or 10 that that they would receive no power, that they had received no power as yet. And of course, John writing in 95-96 AD that they had received no power as yet meant that the Roman Empire had not divided into 10 yet. Okay, the Antichrist would rise up and the Roman Catholic Church would variously dominate over the 10 divisions of the Roman Empire for 1260 years after the Imperial Rome fell, the Caesars, in other words, fell. And the last of the Caesars were Constantine and whatever Catholic emperors reigned after him, okay? Or I should say Christian emperors, okay? But because the nation, because Christian Rome apostatized, then God punished them by bringing the barbarians from the north, which caused the division and the fall of the Roman Empire, as it was then the pagan Roman Empire turned Christian and then turned Christian apostate. This is just the history. And then apostatized, then God punished, brought punishment like he used to do to Israel, of old national Israel, which was then his spiritual, where was his church on earth. So he punished apostate Roman Christendom in the same way that he had previously punished Israel as his church on earth. And then Rome was divided into 10 kingdoms. The little horn rose up, being Rome, and specifically now not the Roman Empire at Rome, and the Roman emperors, but the Vatican at Rome, and variously dominated the ten horn powers, of which one fell away, which I agree with E.B. Eliot, the one, the tenth of the kingdom that fell away was the British Isles, the Britain, or England and the British Isles. So, and that's the history that followed. So that's why I say yes and no to your question. Because there's, you get into the history, it's much more specific as to that. Okay. So any more questions, please text them. And I'll get to them as quickly as I can. Anyway, and I gave you all this here. Someone else put a post in the chat room. Lest we forget what we protest. Which is about I believe the iniquity of sin that Paul said was already at work. And so you see how where the Roman church really came from, and who was, it wasn't Simon Peter who was the first pope of Rome, but the history tells us that it was Simon Magus, and he was called Simon, Father Simon, which would be Simon Pater, because Pater means father, okay? So it wasn't Simon Peter, it was Father Simon Magus, who began his own, who went to Rome after he left the apostles there, and he took a liking to Christianity, and decided to start his own brand of Christianity, which he began at Rome. And I believe this is a true history, but you can check it out for yourself. Quite a lengthy article there. Do enjoy that. Okay, getting back to our questions, outing the Antichrist. So where is the Antichrist mentioned in Scripture? So if you got any scriptural mentions of the Antichrist, even if you think I already know them, please send them to me, text them to me, put them in the First Amendment Radio chat room, or text them to me. That way I will have them later on, and I can peruse them or even mention them on the air. Okay? And let's see. Okay, what did the first century Christians believe, or who did the first century Christians believe the Antichrist was? That's a good historical question, and I wouldn't ask the question unless I believe that they wrote something about it, and they did. And that's part of the history, part of our evidence in outing the Antichrist. So if you know anything about that, whether you think I already know it or not, I would like for you to... Because I don't know a lot of things, and it's hard for me to remember everything, you know, on the fly like this. And what did they write about the Antichrist? And why is it relevant? Okay, those are good questions. Who did the second centuries believe the Antichrist? So, and what? I don't know, I got my missing W there. And what did they write about the Antichrist? And we'd have to go to the third century Christians. What did they write? And then just go down through the ages and try to out the Antichrist and see if we could come to an agreement on who the Antichrist is. And of course, the futurists, the dispensational futurists, they believe what the Antichrist wants them to believe. Yeah, that's right. Because, of course, if, like I said, if I was the Antichrist, whether I believed I was or not, but if I was just somebody who had my own religion and a religious sect and I was the head of it, and people were identifying me as the Antichrist, and it was becoming known throughout the whole world that I was the Antichrist, then I would definitely want to do something about that, especially have the power. If I had an enduring religious institution, I definitely wouldn't want people to believe I was the Antichrist. That would not be a good thing. So, and if I had the power to do something about it, then I would do it. And what if I came to control even the money power of the world, which we know happens. If you read... Revelation chapter 13, there's an indication there that the Antichrist at the end even controls the money powers of the world. Is there not? Is that even in dispute at this point? What more evidence do we need that the Antichrist controls the money powers of the world? And what would that entail for the Antichrist to control the money powers of the world? So if we go to chapter 13 of the Revelation here, and we go way all the way down to the end, and it says that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And we call this the mark of the beast. Okay? But it's... And here's wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. A man. And this is a singular man. And see, here's one of the mentions in the scripture where the Antichrist is mentioned. This is, who does not believe that this a man is not the Antichrist? And his number, not the beast's number. And see, and also this verse also differentiates the beast from the man, the Antichrist. The beast is not a man. Okay? And the Antichrist is not a beast any more than beyond being a man. Okay? But men are not mere beasts. We are all in the image of God. Most of them are rotten. We learn from the scripture itself. That's just the way it is. It's a fact of life that we have to accept. But here it is. It is the number of a man. And his number is 666. So the question would be, another question we have to ask is, what did the first, this is when we get to the question, what did the first century Christians say, or second century, because, and first century, well, they didn't really get to the number thing until the Revelation was written. That's why you'll find nothing about the number before 95 AD. Because believe me, and here's another evidence that the preterists and the amillennialists who believe that the Bible was written before the destruction of Jerusalem, why is there no mention of the number before 95 AD? Because if you have something like this and it was written before 70 AD, certainly in the space between 70 AD and the end of the century, the first century, okay, someone would have made, would have come, it would have been something that would people would have been curious enough about to write about it. But you do not see it until the second century. So that's another evidence that preterism is dead wrong. Because here we have an enigma, and people love enigmas, and they love to try to solve them. But what did, nobody in the first century wrote about the enigma, 666. It wasn't written about until the second century. That's because the people that were writing about it likely couldn't get a copy until the second century. And it was a while before they wrote about it. But where would they get their ideas, and what did they say about 666? Well, the most popular, this from those who were the disciples of John and the disciples of the disciples of John who wrote the Apocalypse, which had this 666. See, they were into it as soon as they heard about it, trying to solve the enigma. And their solution was, and I believe with the help of John and his disciples, may have been that John told them. Yeah, it may have been. But they said Latianos, the Latin man, in the Greek. Okay? And the number is 666. And who would this be? Of course, it would be referring to he which is the head of the Latin race of people, or somehow the head of the Latins. Now, that was a little ambiguous even in the second century, because the Romans were, and the Roman emperors weren't really, even though that was their language and that was the what they wrote with in Latin, but it became more fitting as time moved on, especially as the papacy arose and they Latinized everything, including people. That's why we have Latin Americans, and wherever you go, that the people are predominantly Catholic or were conquered by the Catholic Church or its vassals, Portugal and Spain, they were Latinized and called Latinos. And like I said, we have Latin Americans throughout South and Central America. These are specifically identified as Romans, Roman Catholics. Yeah, so I have to go with what these early Christians say, because they were taught by the apostles, and especially the last apostle, John, who wrote the Apocalypse or the Revelation. And so their solution of the enigma has greater standing than anything that has come after it, as far as I'm concerned. What do you think? And I want to thank Shauna and let's see, somebody else up there whose last four numbers are 5132 saying, "You are muted." But like I said, it was like 4 or 5 minutes into it. A little faster would be nice, because sometimes I do forget to unmute. And I only mute because I'm starting to clearing my throat during the break or whatever, making a lot of noise. But I need some kind of signal or flashing light saying, "You're muted." Anyway. Okay. What else do we got? Yes, exactly. Still checking out the chat rooms. "Who is a liar but he that denieth it? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." That's from WW over there in the, in the chat room. And that's what I'm looking for. So these are the things I'm going to start adding to my notes. And I just started writing the notes before the broadcast. So I'm going to put all these things in my notes. And so if you have any more verses you think might be appropriate there, I need them in the First Amendment Radio chat room, or you can text them to me. Anything about the Antichrist, or that answers any of these questions, or any more questions you think need to be asked, because there's a lot more questions that I've thought of before, but just on the cusp of this broadcast, it's kind of hard to bring it all in. Anyway, got a few minutes before this ends, and we'll come back with more on the Antichrist, on outing the Antichrist. That's our purpose. I want to put something cohesive together on outing the Antichrist that could be undeniable. Asking the right questions with multiple choice. So if you got a question and multiple choices then that you think would be appropriate, that would lead people to answer the question correctly and lead them to believe, lead them to the truth of who the Antichrist really is. I need your help here. I'm just one man, okay? But and I would like to put this together in some form where it can go viral on the internet and take on a life of its own, okay? Let's see. B2B, back to the Bible or something like that, I'm guessing, says, Daniel 7 speaks of the little horn and how the man were with the saints and prevailed against, oh, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And they shall be given into his hand a time, and half a time. Yeah, excellent. See, that's what I'm looking for. So I'm going to copy that from and put that in my notes. So that's what I'm looking for, stuff to be put in my notes and that we can ask the questions about and people can come to the right conclusion. So we'll paste that in my note there. And that's from B2B. Or seems to indicate that the man of sin could be the beast of Romans 13. Beast of Romans 13? Beast of Romans 13. Which is a bit confusing because the beast at the beginning of Revelation 30 is described as having seven heads. Yeah, the beast is not a man. The man of sin can't be the beast, but he is the head of the beast for 1260 years, variously dominating the 10 horn divisions throughout that 1260 years until a tenth of the kingdom fell away, which E.B. Elliott identified, and I agree with, as the British Empire, British Isles, which fell away from the papacy. And facts of history, folks. Let's see. The beast from the sea. Yikes, yeah, that's definitely chapter 13. That's what we're looking at here, the beast from the sea. Yeah, but we're identifying, we're talking about the man of sin, the Antichrist, outing the Antichrist. That's our topic. I've already got a book called The Beast Apocalyptic. Yes. So if you want to learn everything there is to learn about a beast, and I think this goes beyond E.B. Eliot went in his Hori Apocalypticae. As a matter of fact, in the latest edition, which I republished the Hori Apocalypticae, I included this book in the Hori Apocalypticae, the 21st century edition, because I'm trying to bring my effect is not to delete anything, which I didn't do in that 21st century edition. I didn't delete anything, but I did add to and to break it up to date. There's our break. First hour done. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're talking about outing the Antichrist. And I'm getting some good feedback in some of the chat rooms, although I'm hoping to get more people to use the text thing because I have too many. There are more chat rooms than I have up here. I have Rumble chat room and the First Amendment Radio chat room up here now. And I'm still getting used to using this text thing, but I do know the sound now. And I'm going to put some kind of time thing up here that goes, unmute your mic, dummy. When it's time to come back on the air so I don't forget again. Because I hate that, man. I go through a whole thing and then I have to repeat it. But all the lip readers out there, yeah, you got it twice. Sorry about that. I'm starting a new broadcast before we jump back into it. And it's going to be, I'm going to begin this broadcast on February 1st. And that's a Thursday. And that's in a couple weeks. Let me look at the calendar here. Yeah, that'll be 2 weeks from tomorrow, February 1st, Thursday. So it'll follow this broadcast 2 weeks from now, but it'll be at night. And I've been working on the theme. And let's see, this is, and here's some of my production work. I'm going to go do another theme in First Amendment Radio out, because it'll be the last broadcast of the day. So I'll be going out for the day with it. So, and we'll call it Far Out for short. Because it may get a little far out with Nick at night. That would be me, even though no one calls me Nick, but I like to be called Nicholas, my whole name. But for the purpose of the broadcast, this is the theme I'm setting up, is working on the production work and getting that all together and ready to have guests and other people on, conferencing and stuff like that, working on it, learning how to do all these fun things that you have to do. But, and this has been the way it's been looking now, but that's what that'll be. And whether I'll do that exclusively at night and give up the daytime broadcast and perhaps just repeat the nighttime in the day in the same slot or something, I'll see how that works out. But I think I'm going to go to just, so I don't have all these different chat rooms to look at, to just for texts, if people want to communicate with me, you can communicate with each other. But then I'm, because it's just a lot when you're producing your own broadcast to look at the chat rooms. But like I said, if you want something to stick, you either have to text it to me or put it in the First Amendment Radio chat room. Far Out with Nick at Night. Cool. So thank you for that, WW. So that'll be for 2 hours every evening. And I'm just doing that because I find I'm not doing anything with that time. And I would rather fellowship. And even if I have to fellowship on air. And I'm going to try to bring it much more local to where I'm at on the ground, so that I can grow maybe a fellowship in this area, for those that are of at least a Protestant, Reformed Protestant mindset, okay, or even evangelicals. It doesn't matter if you want a fellowship. That's what it's all about. But yeah, the fellowship would be Reformed Protestant and, of course, historicist on my part. I'm not saying everyone to join my local fellowship or the broadcast has to be all three of those things, but it's good if you call or identify yourself as a Christian, or at least an evangelical Christian, because Protestants are definitely, or Reformed Christians are definitely evangelical. There's no doubt about it. We love the gospel, and we love to tell people about the gospel, because we want as many people to join us forever as we can possibly get to come on. And we don't really want anybody to go to hell. That's what makes us evangelical, because we have to preach the message that our master taught us and blessed us with. And we want to bless others with that same message. Okay, so that said, so make sure if you're if you're like me, you find yourself between 9 p.m. Pacific time, because I'm on the other coast here, on the left coast, they call it. And really, you know, I'm widowed, so I don't have a wife to hang out with. And all my children and grandchildren are out being children and grandchildren. So I find myself sitting here with the cats, you know, because I have a couple cats. And that's about it. The dogs are outside. Yeah, I visit them during the day. Anyway, make sure you join us then. Look forward to that, becoming part of our fellowship online every evening at 9 p.m. Pacific time. And I know that's midnight on the other coast. Sorry about that, but I'm where I am. That's the way that works. But I know a lot of people stay up past midnight. Yeah. So at least you can catch the first hour or two if you're one of those night hawks or night owls or whatever they call them. Okay, back to it. I got some questions here from. So it seems to indicate that the man of sin could be the beast of Roman 13. Well, we've discussed that. The man of sin is not the beast. The beast is the beast. The man of sin is the head of the beast, and specifically the head that was wounded. Okay. The head that would be the Vatican rather than Imperial Rome. Same place, same city. You have Vatican and you had the Imperial, whatever they called their capital in the Ten Horn era there. Okay. Let's see. To what extent do you believe Rome, this is from Barbara in the one of those chat rooms over there, I believe that's the YouTube chat room, to what extent do you believe Rome is involved in ME war? ME? ME. Probably much. Would you speak to this? So Antichrist can rule Middle East war. Okay, I get it. So Antichrist can rule from Jerusalem ultimately. No. That's part and parcel of dispensational futurism. The Antichrist does not want to rule from Jerusalem. He's happy to rule from where he rules at the Vatican. Jerusalem would really be a step down for him. But that's part of the fallacy or the false prophecy. And so we have, you know, even with me, as I departed from dispensational futurism, it was a while before I gave up the post-trib rapture. Because I thought, oh, it's not pre-trib. So there's no pre-trib resurrection in the Bible anywhere. So it must be post-trib. Well, I gave up the whole pre-mid post-trib thing altogether and the Antichrist ruling from Jerusalem. That's what he wants dispensationalists to believe. That's part of the false prophecy, the propaganda that he's put out. And it's hard to shed that. There's no 7-year specified period of tribulation during which the Antichrist is going to rule that, and you can't know who he is. That's all. And I write about that. Well, you can get this book, Secrets of the Rapture, and all of that information is there. And I also wrote When the Third Temple is Built. Also, the Abraham Accord was the second edition of the book. The Abraham Accord that I wrote was the second edition of the When the Third Temple is Built book, which specifically answers to that question about the Antichrist. It's all a farce. He's not going to go into any temple. Better restart this thing here. Notice my audio stream sound just went down. We got a flash over here notifying me of that. Sorry about that. Okay, back to it. So anyway, good question, and I'm glad I could address that. But he is responsible for the whole Zionists. He supports anything that that tends to go along with what he wants to happen in the world. Anything confusing, because, and that's what I was getting to before when I was talking about that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. And what I was specifically zeroing in on is the buying and selling thing here and what that has to do with money in the last days and who has the power of money in the last days. Of course, it is the Antichrist. We know that the rulers of evil, those that rule the world now, have total control over their fiat monetary, over the fiat monetary system that has overtaken the entire world. Okay? So they fund or allow to be funded anything that supports their agenda. And that is the Antichrist and his shadow government. The top tier of the shadow government that works for the Antichrist is the Jesuit order. And then they have created or infiltrated any other organization or secret society that they feel that they could use to control people. And all of the false religions they've created and had their hand in a lot of them and have their hand in a lot of them. But they own the money power. The Rothschild bankers that everyone's always pointing to are the Vatican bankers. They are his bankers. They belong to the Antichrist and his shadow government. He rules them all. Any great riches or wealthy corporations that rise up will eventually be taken over by the money power because the money is the power, and it's the money that has the power to take over anything that succeeds anywhere in the world. This is the power of money that the Antichrist has, and that is what, that's why corruption follows the Antichrist wherever he goes. That's why America in Washington, D.C., and most of your states is corrupted, because the Antichrist power uses money to corrupt people to further their agenda, to further his agenda. Okay, so anyway, let's see, that probably expands quite a bit on your question there. See, the confusion, this is from B to B, confusion between Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 is that both the little horn of Daniel 7 and the beast of Revelation 13 overcome the saints for 42 months. Yes, that is because the little horn, which I believe represents the Vatican at Rome, okay? The little horn, okay, let's talk about horns. And that gets back to the beast apocalyptic. We talk about everything that has to do with the beast, the horns, and all the related symbols. Okay, the horn powers are 10 divisions of the Roman Empire. Okay, that's what the horn divisions are. They received no power as of yet, 95 AD. The Roman Empire, Imperial Rome, under the Caesars, had not fallen yet. When it did fall, when the barbarians came, the kingdom was divided into 10. Immediately, the little horn rose up. So a little horn is a further division. The horn being a division, the little horn would be a littler, a smaller division of one of the horns. Okay? Because a horn, wherever a horn appears, it's a division of power. If it's a little horn, then it's not as big as the 10 horns, but it's a division of one of the 10 horns. And that division of one of the 10 horns is not a whole area like a whole nation, like Great Britain or France or Spain or Italy, but it's a city. The little horn is a city, and the city is Rome. And that's what I expose in The Beast Apocalyptic. That's what this book is all about, exposing all that. Because once you learn all this stuff Everything in the Revelation begins to make so much more sense. And I don't believe, if you read the book Apocalyptic, the Beast Apocalyptic, you'll never be able to unread it or look at the script or the Apocalypse or Revelation prophecy in the same way that you had before, because things will become very clear to you after, if you read the Beast Apocalyptic. That's what it's about. It's about ironing all of these things out, making them as crystal clear as possible. And I hope this that helps explaining that. So the confusion between Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 is that both the little horn and the beast of Revelation 13 overcome the saints for 42 months. And yes, the beast of Revelation, because the little horn is at the head of it, and it is the 1260-year period when the Antichrist from the Vatican reigns over, variously over the 10 divisions of the Roman Empire for that 42 months or 1260 years. So that makes sense, does it not? Let's see also, it says, if the Daniel 7 little horn is... Oops, stop that blocking. Is the papacy, how is Revelation 13 beast not also the papacy? Yeah, the papacy is the seat of the man of sin, who is, see, the little horn has a mouth, and I believe the mouth is the man of sin, the Pope. So I hope that clears that all up for you. Let me know what you think, B2B there. Anything else if it's not clear enough. Certainly, that's my job, basically, is trying to ferret all these things out and make them as easily understandable as possible without departing from the scripture at all. It's a challenge, my friends. That's for sure. Okay, so that takes care of those question marks there. Let's see, WW says, Paul's adversary. In the last days, perilous times, characterized by heady high-mindedness with the form... Okay, well, I'm not sure I understand any of that. Paul's adversary, Antichimenes in Greek, okay. Form but without power of godliness, the love of pleasure supplanting the love of God, contrasted with the earlier latter times marked by seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, celibacy, abstinence from meals. Oh, okay. Okay, not really a question, just comments, I guess. If there's a question there, you might want to rephrase that for me. But... Let's see, maybe I'll copy all that and put it in my notes anyway, just to have it there, because out of these notes, I want to do something that will tend to out the Antichrist, that being our object. Okay. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Rome, I guess our little horn is London. Somebody, no, little horn is definitely Rome, because it's a little horn. It's a further division of one of the ten horns. Since London fell away, it couldn't be the capital. But London, I believe, is when the city was divided into the great city, speaking of Rome, and the Vatican at the head of it was divided into three parts. I believe Rome is one of those divisions. And I believe the third division is Washington, D.C. Of course, the first would remain at the Vatican. And I've got an article on my website about that, which most of you are familiar with. Yeah. Okay, where's that at? Somewhere here. Oh, I guess I have to choose one of these. Anyway, and where is that article at? Oh, if you go to my homepage, that would be, press the homepage at the top in the middle, you'll see it there. The Empire of the City, the whole unholy trinity that rules the world, and still the most popular, most visited page on my website is this one. Because even though the elements of this are borrowed from other people's posts and writings before, this one expanded in a way that is far different from all of the ones that went before it. Okay. Anyway, so it covers the Vatican, the Corporation of London, and the District of Columbia. And if you haven't read that, you'll definitely want to read it and share it. Yeah. So either send me $1 million or share my post. Whichever one you can afford to do. Yeah, share my books and my posts. Definitely. And also, I have I ordered 30 copies of these so that I could send them out. So if you have someone that you think you would like me to be on their broadcast, and I should send them a copy of my book, I would like to get some interviews out there. So if you can help me out with that, your favorite talk show host out there other than me, and I know I'm probably not your favorite, but I don't count anyway because I'm already interviewing myself. But if you'd like, just if you could do that, send them an email, a link to my post on my website or this post somewhere. Because if you scroll down, if you go to my homepage and you scroll down, you'll see this one, Secrets of the Rapture. And that's the book I would like to interview about right now, is Secrets of the Rapture. Send them this post and ask them to have me on their broadcasts and tell them that to contact me to have me on their broadcast. I will send them a copy of the book, a hard copy, or a PDF version for the interview. But yeah, I will actually send them a hard copy of the book. It's paperback, 90 pages. But what we're trying to do here is overturn futurism, dispensational, pre-trib dispensational futurism, and we're trying to out the Antichrist to the world. That is our object here, and that should be your object too. So you can support, you can join in the work that I'm doing by supporting it or suggesting, you know, anything you can do to help. Because the sooner we get people to the scales of this dispensational deception, conjectured deceptions, as soon as we can overthrow that, we get more people so that they won't be caught unaware of what's going on when the time comes. Because it's still likely that they're going to build a something they're going to call a temple on the Temple Mount. They have all the plans. They're planning on it. Let's put it that way. And the Antichrist wants it too. That's why he's pushing. He's the mover and the shaker behind the Abraham Accords. And if you read my book, The Abraham Accord, you would know that. And you get to get a free copy of that too by going, pressing on the Get the Book tab at my website. Oh, and I haven't put that up there. But you'll get a free copy. Oh, that's not Get the Book. It's the free ebook tab. That's the one. And you'll see it there. I'm giving the book away, the free ebook. So you get a PDF of this. And I ask you to spread it around, give it away. You can buy it on Amazon too if you want a hard copy. It's not that expensive. That way you could support me. But like I said, you can get it free. I'm not making any money on books, not yet. I hope to someday because I'm getting old and somehow I need to pay my bills. And I don't know how long I can be doing this. Yeah, it would be nice to actually make enough money to live on books. But so far, that's not happening. But I'm going to keep writing, okay, just so it's all out there. But it's free. So go to the click on the free ebook tab. You'll see the Abraham Accord there. And it says, share the page. I mean, how much can... I ask something in return. And you don't have to do it, but I'll take your word for it that you will do it. Although most people don't. I'm sorry to say that most people are just won't do it. But share the page, subscribe to the blog with your email address, and comment below. So once you comment below, I know you've done those two things. You've shared the page and you've subscribed to the book like 243 other people have. This should be in the thousands. And also share this. Share this page, the free ebook page, on all of your social media. Okay? And that way you can help out. Or send me $1 million and I'll pay someone to do it. To share it everywhere. Because I don't have time to do that, to do promotions. I have a lot of work already, more than I can handle. So I just have to prioritize. That's the way that works. And then I asked to leave a review. And I think I have 3 reviews on the book. What, 243 people got this book and they left me 3 reviews? I don't know, maybe more than that now. But, okay. So we're going to continue talking about outing the Antichrist when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, a live prophecy reality edition. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Oh, welcome back. Okay, we were talking about the Abraham Accord and the likelihood that there will be a building on the Temple Mount. So we have the free ebook tab at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org, and press on the free ebook tab and get a copy of this. And when I send you the PDF in your email box, you can share it with everyone. It doesn't matter, just everyone that you can think of. Mail it to your whole email list, the Abraham Accord. It's the same book as this one here, When the Third Temple is Built, except it was updated for the Abraham Accord and has a opening chapter about the Abraham Accord in it. So, but basically just the second edition of 90% the same book. So, of course, the Antichrist, what it exposes first in the first chapter is that the Antichrist is behind it, the whole push to do the Abraham Accord thing. And they're likely... It may happen. We got a lot going on in the Mideast now. We'll see what comes out of that. Things can change rapidly, as we know. So we'll just keep our eye on it. But whether they get a temple built or not changes nothing about Bible prophecy. It's just that the Antichrist, and I would like to see them do that. And the reason I would like to see them do it is because once... And the Antichrist would like to see it, to be able to do it too, because what his purpose, I believe, in getting that Abraham Accord and building that Temple on the Mount is to go, see, all of you Protestants who believe in Bible prophecy, you were wrong. You should have believed us, because we have the truth. We are the true church all along. This is what I believe the Antichrist's motive is behind this. Not so he can go into the temple like the false prophecy and the false prophets say. The false prophets that believe in his, you know, delusional dispensational futurism. But he wants to expose that there are no raptures. There is no resurrection that precedes the grave, and that his church is the true church. Because if he's standing there 7 years after their supposed tribulation starts and nobody's been raptured, and you go three, four more years beyond that, which I believe is likely going to happen. I'm pretty much 99% sure that if they start this 7-year tribulation deception, that's what I call it. Even have a chapter in this book called The 7-Year Tribulation Deception. I believe that's chapter 2. If you want to light it out, that's what I call it, a deception. Let's see, where's the contents there? Yeah. The 7-Year Tribulation Deception. That's chapter 2 of Secrets of the Rapture. Okay. So the deception is that when they get done with it, and because everyone's going to expect, all of the dispensational futurists are going to expect to be pre-tribulation raptured out immediately. But they're going to be sitting there for months, and then they're going to go, oh, well, it must be mid-trib. Good thing we had multiple choice, right? Multiple choice rapture. That's the way God does things. Because he couldn't figure out which one he was going to go with, right? Yeah. Couldn't figure out which one, so he gave us multiple choice prophecy. And so when they start their tribulation, they build their temple, and they don't do the sacrifice and oblation, you know. They take that away, or whatever, you know, because they're not going to allow any bloody sacrifice. The Antichrist doesn't want anything but his bloodless sacrifice of transubstantiation. Nothing else will be allowed. Okay. And so when they're 3.5 years and nobody's raptured, they'll be twiddling their thumbs going, oh, well, it must be post-tribulation. Which, you know what post-tribulation means, don't you? Yeah. That means there never was a third resurrection called a pre-tribulation rapture that precedes the second coming of Christ, resurrection, that there never was one, that the whole thing is a fallacy. But they'll be going, okay, well, it must be post-trib. And so the 7 years comes, 8 years, nine, 10 years, they're going to go, guess the Bible prophecy was wrong. No, it wasn't. The false Bible prophecy was wrong. What you believed was in the Bible, but wasn't there, was wrong. There is no gap in Daniel's 70th week. There is no pre-tribulation resurrection that precedes the first resurrection of chapter 20 that happens when Christ returns, called the first resurrection. See, if that one's called the first resurrection, how can there be a third one that comes before the first? Well, I talk about that in the Secrets of the Rapture book. And plus that series, that whole series is online for, if you go to our Rumble, First Amendment Radio Rumble account page there. Yeah. That page there. And you press on the playlist button there, and you'll see it right there, the second one in. It says Deconstructing the Pre-Trib Rapture. So you don't even have to buy the book, Secrets of the Rapture. I pretty much did this series while I was writing the book, had the book done halfway through it, and so the whole book is on there, plus more. And if you go back like 3 or 4 videos before that, I was working on it before that. So all the information is there for you free. You just have to look at my face, or not look at my face, just listen to me. And I practically read the book for you. That's how that works. So, because a lot of people, oh, you're just trying to make money selling books. Oh, really? You show me how that works. Because I would like to make money selling books. Yeah, instead, I have to rely on the giving of God's people to support the work that I am doing. And there's not, doesn't seem to be a whole lot of eager givers out there. And I'm not very good at begging or promoting and asking for money. I mean, who is good at this? Well, there are people that are good at it, but I don't want to be one of them. And I'm not stooping to anything like miracle money either. Anyway, so let's check this out and see if we got any more comments or questions here. And I'm not sure if we do or not. Oops. Yes. Trying to get to these things. Move them over here. Out of the way. Yes, I guess we've got no more. These come in the bottom or the top. Oh, yeah, they come in the bottom. So no more comments anywhere. The confusion. Oh, do you have a PayPal where we can donate? More than $100. Well, you should mail me a check or something, because I don't want to give to PayPal, although we do take PayPal. If you go to First Amendment Radio and click on the support button, let me see how that works before I send you there to do that. Okay, so I press on First Amendment Radio here, and then I press on... Okay, then I press on the support with your finances tab there. That's firstamendmentradio.net/support. But it says to support via postal mail, click here. So you can send a check, or you can give any amount you want on PayPal there. But that supports the work I'm doing, my tent making work, which is First Amendment Radio, my regular job. Okay, so you can support my regular work there. You can do it at any amount you want per month. And but if you're going to give a large amount per month, if you click on the support via postal mail, click here, it says, and you'll see a PDF paper you can print out if you have a printer, and it has mail labels on it. So you can just cut them out and tape them on your or paste them on your envelope and send your, and put this with your monthly bills. You know, everyone has monthly bills they pay by mail. I hope that you're using cash and using old technology, because that's the only way we're going to stay away from CBDC, is if we stick with the old technology. I use cash for most everything I do. Some things I have to pay online, like all the services that I have for First Amendment Radio, streaming services and stuff like that, and web services. All those are paid online using PayPal and a PayPal credit card for the account that we have for First Amendment Radio. But so you can give, and I prefer people to send checks, or and you can send real money too. Not just Federal Reserve money, because checks are Federal Reserve money too. You can send cash, and no one's ever lost any yet, but I'm not saying it couldn't happen, because I have lost even checks in the mail. So, but you can send it by, what is it called? Priority mail with verification, delivery verification, stuff like that. And if you send cash, wrap it up real good inside a magazine page or something like that, so it can't be seen through the anyway. But checks are fine. Just follow the instructions there. And it says to mail it to First Amendment Rights, SRE, and make out the check accordingly, like the page says at the top there. And you can send us a check every month. There are a few people that do. We have a few supporters that have been supporting us for a very long time, been supporting First Amendment Radio and the work we do here. We really appreciate them. And we know that no one gives to First Amendment Radio so that I will say thanks to them, because they're giving to God and the work that he's doing through First Amendment Radio. So, and that's what our motivation is, that we're giving to God for his work and not for the praise that we're going to get for how much or how often or how faithful we're giving. We want our praise from God. I mean, that's the way I give, where I give for the work of God on earth and to the charities that I give to personally. So, and I don't want to advertise it, and I don't want anyone to say, you know, like some people do, they, every time they get a donation or something, they air it on their broadcast. Well, if that's the reward you want, then, you know, the First Amendment Radio is not for you. But Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing when you're giving. In other words, don't broadcast your giving, because he says, verily I say unto you, you have your reward. And what a deficient reward when you compare it to an eternal reward. So when we give as God's people, we're sowing, we're investing into a kingdom that goes beyond the grave, a kingdom that reaches into eternity. That's where our investment is going. And for, so for, as far as, I mean, you invest in this life, of course, you invest in your work, and you might even invest your money like in, you know, or you might put it in gold and silver to retain its value, or you have investments where your money might grow a little bit. It goes beyond what the retention that gold and silver and real money could give you, but those are hard to find. Those you usually have to put a lot of labor into, and you get the reward of your labor, you know, which is your gift from God. But as far as investing, so it makes sense to invest in this, because you need to live in this world, so you need some return on investment. But then you can also invest into the God's kingdom and into eternity by investing into the work. And it's just the work I'm doing, because I give to other ministries. I don't give to my own, like some so-called ministers claim to do. Oh, I give everything. I give 10% to my own ministry. I don't know. I don't think that works right. That doesn't sound right to me for some reason. Yeah. And then they take credit for all the money that their ministry gives to other stuff. I would never do that on the air. Yeah. Because I think if you have a business, like you buy a car or you get a monthly business and they're giving to charities and they're proclaiming it. I'm going, I don't want to give to charity through you. I already give to charity. I just want you to give me the lowest and the lowest price and the best service that you can give me. I don't want to support because you're woke or whatever, even if it's a good charity. If you want to support it, do it on your own. But don't tell me that I'm supporting some charity by buying your product over someone else's. Just doesn't seem right to me. Seems the motivation is kind of skewed there, that people are using charity to promote their business. Somehow doesn't seem quite right to me. What do you guys think about that? All right, let's see. This is the first occasion I've been able to sit on a live show. Oh, good to have you here, David. Catching the show's recorded video and audio, by the way, so much appreciating your teaching. I appreciate your kind words there. Thank you for that direction and explanation on symbolism regarding the horns and bees. I've been purchasing your books, but lining up the possibility of which to begin with. Well, if you want to learn about the Revelation prophecy, I believe that's why I sell these three books. I call it the Beast Apocalyptic. It's the first one you're supposed to read in the series, then an exposition of the Revelation, and then after that, the Millennium Question. And I sell those in one volume, too, at Lulu Press. There's a link on my website. You'll see it at the top of the page there. If you go there and scroll up to the top of the page, you'll see that it says 3-in-1 volume, the Revelation Enigma Decoded. And that's the order they should be read. The Beast Apocalyptic is book one in the series, and then an exposition of the Revelation, being an exposition of the whole book of Revelation on the prophecy parts, okay? And basically the whole book. And the Millennium Question, the final one, where it definitely wanted to settle the Millennium Question and expose the fallacies about the other conjectured views of Revelation 20. Because there's only one true view, and that's the one that you get by the plain reading of the text without any presupposition. Yeah, it's pretty simple, actually. But the Millennium Question goes into a lot of different things if I just go through the table of contents, you'll see. And you can see that at Amazon, too, the table of contents on those. Chapter 1, Understanding the Revelation. Chapter 2 is called The Millennium Question. Chapter 3 is Revelation 20 Exposed. And I did that live on the air, too, the exposition of going verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the Revelation. And this is the Millennium Question. And the amillennialism of Augustine, since he had such a big part in introducing the world to amillennialism. Okay, so I definitely had to have a chapter on the amillennialism of Augustine. Then I have Answering the Critics, okay, and I answer others, Stam Storms and Kim Riddle Barger and others in this book. And then Prospects for the Unfulfilled Future. What about the future and the millennium? And then also I have an old post, which you can also find on my website, What Year Is It? Thought it was an important and integral part of the Millennium Question, so had to include it as the last chapter of the book in the same form practically that you'll find on my website anyway, but in the book form. So thank you for those questions. And I will head that way. So anyway, thank you for supporting me by buying the books too. And I hope that you are blessed and edified by the reading of them there, David. And thank you for showing up for the broadcast today when you could. I appreciate that too. I really do. Okay, anything else going on here? Super Deception. Could you give your website URL? Yeah, it's Nicholas Arthur. You see my spelling on the screen there. .wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org. Okay. That's to my personal blog. And then we have First Amendment Radio you can take with you, firstamendmentradio.net. crossthebordernetwork.net/MOBI. And all of the audio and video, chat room, all that is available on our MOBI page there. So it's an online app. You don't have to get it in the app store. Though I do have a prophecy reality news app, which is not as good as our online MOBI app. So it's firstamendmentradio.net/MOBI. Or if you're at our chat room, you can just click on the mobile page there and you'll see it, especially if you're already on your so-called smartphone device. So if the little horn is okay, that question already asked and answered. Anything else? All right. Well, we're almost at the end of the broadcast, and hey, I was able to fill 2 hours. I amaze myself. Sometimes I just go, oh, am I really going to be able to talk, fill up 2 hours? Well, yeah, I did. Hey, and no calls today. Probably get one right now. Yeah. No, or maybe our antagonist is sick today. Well, may the Almighty bless him and heal him, and may he come to the knowledge of the truth and be a blessing for eternity in the New Jerusalem, new heaven and new earth. Yeah. Okay, well, what else do we close with? I guess that is quite enough, and I didn't hear any more notifications. I got more notifications by forgetting to unmute my mic. More text from that than anything else. But anyway, hopefully people get used to using it. I know some other broadcasts use texting, so... And if you're on your phone, I guess it's a lot more handy if you're already on your phone. So we'll try that out. And hopefully that'll develop into a real thing. Okay. Please, if you haven't subscribed to my blog yet at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, make sure you do that and spread those posts around. There's on every post, there are links to share, so make sure you share plenty, especially if you don't have any money to give. That's something you can do, is to help grow this broadcast and get the message out while we're outing the broadcast and deconstructing pre-tribulation dispensational futurism. The truth, Jesus said, will make us free, and we need to free everyone we can from these deceitful conjectures that have found their way from the Antichrist into the whole world, that devilish propaganda that has deluded generations now, yes, for several hundred years at least. Okay, that's about it. You're welcome for that. How many futurists will fall for that? Probably millions. Yeah, they're going to fall for it. What I got there talking about earlier, going through the actually building a building over there, calling it a temple, and waiting for the rapture. And each rapture fails. That's why there's three of them. If you wonder why they have multiple choice prophecy, because when one fails, you can always, they'll naturally fall to the next one until finally they fall to the post-trib. And when that doesn't even happen, wow. Then the Antichrist goes, oh, see, there's no rapture. There's no resurrection that precedes the grave. Everyone will be resurrected when they're dead, after you die. Yeah. Because, you know, the Antichrist is amillennial. He believes that the millennium is what he's experiencing right now, where he's going to finally rule and take over the whole world. And why wouldn't he think that's the way it is? Because to him, that's exactly what is happening. Although it's a struggle for him, it isn't easy, but they're winning. They have the money power of the whole world. They've corrupted the many, many governments. Communism belongs to them. Zionism is theirs. All of the secret societies are under his wheel. Everything. He's winning. But he loses in the end and wins nothing. All he has is what money can buy, but not real riches. That's all we have time for. We'll see you next time. May the Almighty bless you. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it? Working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.